Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I just want to talk to you this morning from the bottom of my heart. If you'll stand. This is one of those sermons I tried to choose something else, but was unsuccessful. So I'm going to give you the one thing God gave me this morning. The Bible says to purge out the old leaven and become a new lump. Yeah, purge out the old corruption, the old things that got you swelled up, the old things that got you angry, the old things that got you mad, the old things you can't get over. He said, purge those things out, that you may be a new lump. Let's start over. Are you glad for the day of starting over? I'm glad the day that I purged some things out and God helped me purge some things out so I could start over with a new lump. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Little leaven, he said leaven's the whole lump. I've got really something this morning that's awfully disturbing. I try not to be too disturbing, but at the same time, I want to rattle your bones and your cage or whatever it is that holds you captive this morning. Genesis 13 and 2. Let's go to Genesis 13 and 2. Are y'all comfortable? Is it warm, cool? What's the temperature out there? It's a little hot, Brother Charlie, or somebody help us with that, because it's going to get hotter when you hear what I'm fixing to preach. Genesis 13 and 2, and Abraham was very rich. I want to get that. That doesn't seem like it's important, but I'm telling you, this is very, very important to this sermon this morning. Abraham was not just a little rich. He had some good stuff. He was very rich. Rich in cattle and silver and in gold. Then you look down at Genesis 22 and 4. We know what's happened between chapter 13 and chapter 22. He's had this promised son. He's been through a lot of grief, and we'll briefly talk about that. But then on the third day, now watch, Abraham, this very rich man, lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. The rich man lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. Let me say it again. The rich man lifted up his eyes and he saw the place afar off. Then we go to Luke and we find another rich man. Luke 16 and 19. And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Sounds like Abraham. Then verse 23. In hell he lifted up his eyes, and being in torment, he seeth another rich man. He sees Abraham afar off. He lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Lazarus, that beggar, safe in his bosom. I want to take that part of that verse. We're going to go all over the map. In hell, he lifted up his eyes. I want to talk about through the eyes of hell. Through the eyes of hell. Lord, I come before you this morning. I humbly come before you. Hallelujah. Lord, I do ask for help. Lord, when you talk about these things, people get nervous. Devils get nervous. Preachers get nervous. Everybody gets nervous when you talk about hell. We talk about heaven, they shout. But when you talk about hell, people get nervous. Lord, let us be so scared of hell, we'll run from it with all that we got. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. You may say, well, Brother Back, you're trying to scare us this morning. Yeah, I wish I could. Wished I could. Some are saved by compassion. Some have to, and pardon these, I'm not trying to be rude this morning. Some have to get hell scared out of them. They have to really get to the point that they are so scared of it, they will do anything to get away from it. And so I suppose this morning I could title this sermon, The Tale of Two Rich Men. But I'm not. I want to talk about through the eyes of hell. I've asked them to skip forward in my reading because I feel like reading to you hell's short list this morning. Before I preach the sermon, I want you to find if you're in any of these categories. Are you ready? I want you to see who's not going to make it. This is hell's short list. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are made manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness. Uncleanliness. I'm gonna go over what some of these words mean, so y'all don't just read them and say, "Well, that ain't me," because you don't even know what it means. Uncleanliness is anything that you do that's not clean. It's not how you keep your house clean or unclean. It's his house. It's his house. It's how you keep his house. Do you keep his house clean? Do you keep your mind clean? Is there filthy communication coming out of your mouth in any way? Are you doing anything unclean? Uncleanliness. Lasciviousness is things that go toward lewdness and wickedness. It's lust, lustful things. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Now, variance. You know what variance is? Always indifferent. Always indifferent. You know, as raising kids, you know, you. My dad told me this. Y'all never believe this. He said to me one time, I never forgot it. Because as your kids, you get defiant. You're just going, whatever they say, it's just the opposite. He said, son, if that told you that light was red, you'd say it's green. Your dad told you that too? Because you're indifferent, just indifferent, just indifferent. You got your own opinions. You got your own. And so he's saying, this is hell's short list. He said, variance. People that are always, it doesn't matter what you do, you shouldn't do it. You could have done it different. Should have done it different. Emulations. That's not something you take for your stomach. Emulation is when you're always striving to outdo somebody else. I'll sing better than him. How come you didn't play that right, Brother Brian? If you wouldn't have missed your key, I'd have sang better. Trying to outdo somebody else. I'm going to out-preach them. I'm going to out-sing them. I'm going to out-glorify them. I'm going to out-shout them. I'm going to out-everything. You just got to be superior. Are you any of these? Wrath, strife, seditions. You know what seditions is? Discontent and rebelling against authority. Sedition, discontent. I don't like the way they're doing it. I don't like the way he does it. I don't like this. I don't like that. The Bible says every ruler was set up from God. There's not a power that be that God doesn't allow. Not a one. Heresies, meaning having different beliefs than the doctrine. Envying, murderers, drunkenness, reveling. Reveling is people that's always seeking pleasure. Reveling, always looking for a good time. If it ain't a good time at church, go find another church got good time. Always looking, it's got to be a good time. Revelers. And such like, he just throws that in, of which I tell you before, I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit. It's hell's list. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In Romans chapter 1, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, unrighteousness, sin, all unrighteousness is sin. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness. It means you're being malicious. You're wanting evil to happen to somebody because they did something to you. Full of envy, murder, debate. Just argue me down. Debate. Deceit. Some people don't understand. Deceit is a lie. If you deceive somebody even by telling them the truth, and you deceive them, you have told a lie. Malignity. That's not something, a cancer. It is a cancer, but a different kind. It's intense ill will towards others. Watch this one. Whisperers. It's not just, it's things you can't say aloud. It's things you won't say behind this pulpit. It's things you won't say to other people. It's called gossipers. That's the other word for it in the Bible. Gossipers. They just whisper things to other people, but they don't want everybody to know it. Evil. Now watch this one. Backbiters. We've called them backstabbers. Are you any of these? I'm giving you hell's short list. Backbiters, always attacking somebody else's character, attacking their reputation in private, spreading that around. Backbiters. Hell will be full of them. Haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. My God, that tells me that hell won't be just adults, it may be children too. Without understanding, covenant breakers, can't keep a promise, can't keep any agreement, without natural affection, all the things that men and women and men and men and women and women do that are not natural, it is sin. If it's not natural, it's sin. Is this okay? It's okay. Whew, it is getting hot. Implacable. I would tell you to tell your neighbor you're implacable, but you don't know what it means. So I'm going to tell you before you tell your neighbor. Incapable of being pacified or content. Implacable. Now you can look at them and tell them if you want to. Now that you know what it means. You're implacable. That's a good word. I'm going to start using that. Tell people you're implacable. They have to go home and look it up. Nothing I do, nothing I say, I can't be anything to please you. Implacable. Give my life, it wouldn't please you. Implacable. I like that word. Unmerciful. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. And yes, they will. It's called hell's death list. Not only to do the same, but have pleasure of in them that do them. Spectators of sins. You stir somebody else up and you say, go bite them, go get them. And you stirred them up. A Jezebel, if you will. The spirit of Jezebel was to stir Ahab up so that he could get the vineyard. Oh, I'm messing with y'all this morning. I got one more I thought of. I'm going to find that one. Hell's list. Hell's list. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Somewhere's around here. Know ye not that unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't you know that? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, abusers of your own body, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I can preach my sermon. Do you fit any, not how many, any of those? You're headed for hell. That's what it says. That's what it says. So if you fit any of those, there is, if I could read a little further, it says, but ye are washed. You see, and such were some of you. So there is a remedy. For every one of these things, there's only one sin unto death. All the rest of them, that's blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. The rest of them, you can be forgiven of. So there's good news too. But I want you to find yourself in there if you can be found. These two rich men intrigued me as I was studying this, because they were both rich. And the Bible makes a lot of comparisons and extreme comparisons. It talks about, said it would be hard for a rich man to enter into heaven. And he compared it to a camel going through the eye of a needle. Now for you seamstress, you would think, no. No, you couldn't even get a camel hair through the eye of a needle, let alone the camel. But what he was talking about was this little door that they had that entered into different places. And so when rich men traveled, they took camels. They had camels to carry because they had so much jewels. They had so much wealth that camels were excellent for carrying all of their wealth. So as they sojourned or as they traveled, then they would come to the eye of the needle. And they had to go through this to get to the other side. And in order to get through it, it was so short, a camel was so tall, that they had to unload the burden. They had to unload the riches to get the camel on his knees and crawl him through there. But a poor man, he didn't even have a camel. He didn't even have a camel, let alone the riches to burden the camel with. But the point is, you have to unload it before you can come in it. Hallelujah. It's easier for a poor man to just walk on through than it is for you to give up those riches and say, sell all you have and give it to the poor. He said, not me, pal. And he walked away. Sorry, he could not unload the camel to get through the eye of the needle. Abraham was rich. Not just rich, but very rich. And there was a process through which God blessed Abraham. Let's look at Genesis 12 and 1. And now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out. Say, get out. One more time, get out. Get out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house, because they were wicked, they were idolaters, unto a land that I will shew thee. Say, I'll show you. Get out and then I'll show you. I'm not showing you till you get out. That's faith, right? If I show you, then you say, yeah, I'm getting out. See y'all later. But to get out and not know where you're going, he said, get out and then I'll show you. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. There's four steps to blessing others. Real quick, four steps to blessing others. Number one, get out. Number two, he'll show you a new place where you need to be, and he makes you profitable. He said, I'll make you the father of many nations. Then he blesses you. And when he blesses you, then he said, thou shalt be a blessing to others. For God to bless you and you not bless somebody else, you missed the point. You have missed the point. God wanted you to bless somebody else. And Abraham realized that he had a lot of riches. And he already was rich when he got out. He was already rich when he got out. But even though he was already rich when he got out, Brother Johnson, he met the king of Salem, the high priest, along the way after recovering more jewels from the Battle of the Five Kings. And coming back, he met the king of Salem, and he paid tithing under the order of Melchizedek. The rich man gave tithes unto the Lord. It's more easy for poor people to pay their tithes than it is rich people. Did you know that? People that don't get but $800 a month, they're going to give that $80. But people that get $8,000 a month, they that's a lot of money. And so Abraham was blessed with all these riches. He had everything that money could buy, but there was one thing he didn't have that money can't buy, a son. He did not have his heart's desire. His heart was not really in his wealth, it was in his God. And I'm sure that Abraham would have spent all that he had and lived in poverty if he could have paid, take everything I got, give me a son. I would. And once Abraham had obtained his promised son, Isaac, you would think because God promised it, this would be the end of it. God promised it, he got it, but no, he says sacrifice it. Sacrifice what I have promised. Oh my God, but you promised it so I could sacrifice it? So again, the Lord tells Abraham, go and look for a place. Again, go and look for a place that I will show you. And the Bible says he arose early the next morning. That's what I like about Abraham. And people that get stuff from God, they arise quickly. Even the prodigal son, when he finally made his mind up, he arose. I like people that arise and do something. And I don't know, you know. People talk themselves out of their healings, their blessings. They talk themselves out of so many things that God would do for them because they got to think about it. If God shows you something, ultimately it will be a blessing to you. Now, Abraham looks for this place, and I've got to tell it the way I see it. This place that he's looking for is a place like hell. He's fixing to offer his son. Let's not forget, what he's fixing to do. The wood, the fire, the knife. Come on. He's looking for a place to offer his son. Go until you find the place where you can burn your son up. Sounds like hell to me. And as this rich man and his son journeyed, the Bible says on the third day he lifted up his eyes and he saw hell afar off. He saw the place where he would burn his son. He saw the place where he would cut his throat. He saw the place where we would tie him up. He saw the place, are you still with me, where there would be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He saw the place of torment. I see it, son. I see it. And rather than turning to the two men with him and saying, I dread this day. It's a dreadful day. I'll never be the same after this day. No, sir. Abraham looked at those two men and he said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship in hell. I and the lad will go yonder. And he called it a place of worship. The rich man lifted up his eyes, I'm talking about Abraham, and saw a place that looked like hell. And he said, I and the lad shall go yonder and worship and come again unto you. Oh, my. Abraham saw this place afar off. I don't know if in his mind, surely he was thinking about, oh, what happens if God don't show up? I will tell you how persuaded this man was. He was persuaded that if he slew his son, Hebrews said, he would have resurrected him. That's powerful faith. Raise him up again. I want you to get the picture this morning. This rich man was given everything you could imagine, but now he's fixing to offer his son, and his son is at his mercy. Mm. And when you look at the life of Abraham, you may think, whoa, what a great, he's so rich. Abraham had a life of misery. Misery. Looking for a city, looking for something he's not finding, a city whose builder and maker is God. Maybe this is it. No, he died in faith looking for that city. 100 years old before he has his first boy. 100. And he made a mistake along the way. He had to live with that too and get rid of that. Miserable. And now he's got to offer his son. It doesn't sound like a pleasurable life to me. And eventually Abraham dies and, oh, he dies in peace. And his generations are living on today. Abraham, in even his misery, was the first patriarch of the Jewish nation who lives on today. He was the father of faith. He was the first of the circumcised. He was the first to pay tithing. Somebody's got to be the first in your household, too, to live for God. Somebody's got to be the first in your household to say, stops here. Now, it's interesting, in the New Testament, Jesus would make this parable of a rich man and a poor man named Lazarus, and there was one other character in the parable. Who was it? Abraham. Three people in the parable. And he said, I kind of paraphrase as I read to you, there was a certain rich man dressed in purple, linen, fared sumptuous every day. He didn't have a bad day. Brother, he didn't have no bad driving experiences either, no road rage or nothing. No bad waitresses, Brother Ken. He fared sumptuously every day. Nothing to make him angry, nothing to make him mad. He just got along with it. Everything was fine. But outside of his gate, the Bible said there was a certain beggar, and they gave his name. His name was Lazarus. And the Bible says he laid at that gate. Not in a recliner. I wish you could get the picture this morning of a man laying at the gate. Full of sores, the Bible says. Desiring to be fed with the crumbs from the rich man's table, which the dogs normally would get. He said, I'll take what you feed the dogs. He had some dogs because the Bible says they licked his sores. Dogs have a way of finding those sores and they cut and licking them. And it came to pass that the man died. I just can see in my mind, if you'll dream with me, this man, cold one night, didn't wake up, laying at the gate. And the next morning, he's dead. Come get him. Nobody maybe to bury him. I don't know. But he didn't need anybody to bury him because the Bible said he was carried. He was carried by the angels into heaven. And the rich man died and he was buried. Oh, you're getting this? One was carried and the other one was buried. The poor man had angels that came and carried his body into a place of rest, into a place called heaven, into a place where another rich man was, whose name was Abraham, the one that died in faith. That's right, the one that was very rich. It's the same one that paid tithe. And the poor man was buried, was carried, and the rich man was buried with his possessions. For wherever a man's heart is, there is his treasure also. So they just buried him where his heart was. And that's where you're going to be buried, is wherever your heart is. Verse 23 was our text. It says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Would you do this with me? Would you? Just lift your eyes up. He lifted up his eyes. Thank you. And being in torment, he seeth another rich man afar off. Just like Abraham looked afar off and saw his hell. Now this guy's in hell. And he looks up. Guess what? He sees Abraham afar off. And beside him is that beggar in his bosom, meaning being taken care of, drawn into safety. Wow. It's amazing to me how these roles are reversed. This certain rich man lives sumptuously every day, and now he has nothing. And Lazarus, who had nothing, has everything. And now the rich man lift up his eyes. Through the eyes of hell, we understand some things this morning I want to preach to you. Through the eyes of hell, he looked up and it was afar off, and he cried. I almost did this, but I decided against it. I almost brought to you the sounds of hell. Go to YouTube. Someone's got a YouTube out there, and it's called The Sounds of Hell. If we all did that together, y'all won't do that? No. It was horrible. Now, that was a makeup thing, I understand. But think if it was real. The sounds. What I'm trying to show you is the man can see, he can hear, and he can feel. And the sounds of hell. And the Bible says that he cried out, and there was weeping. And there was wailing. And there was gnashing of teeth. You ever been hurt real bad? You'll put your teeth together. And you'll grind them. Gnashing of teeth. Torment and in pain. He cried out in hell. And look at what he said. Father Abraham. Oh, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Have mercy. Send Lazarus. He didn't say, get me out. He said, because I'm telling you, hell is permanent. Did you have any of those things that I mentioned? Were you in any of those? If you're not, God bless you. Thank God. We'll see you in heaven. But if you, any of these things that I read is the works of the flesh, and you cannot, I promise you, you will meet the rich man in hell. It says, they that do such things are worthy of death. They that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's no way around it. He said, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. Not a glass of water, not a pitcher of ice cold water or lemonade. Just a drop would be sufficient for now, because I am tormented with these flames. Through the eyes of hell, we recognize that this other rich man made it, and another, this rich man did not. And in the bosom of the rich man that made it was the poor man. Abraham loved God above all things. The rich man loved himself above all things. The roles are reversed. Abraham had already been to his hell and back. And he called it. See, the rich man, when he lifted up his eyes in hell, he saw the place afar off. What was it? A place of worship. Oh, you didn't catch it. Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw a hell on earth. And he said, I and the lad shall go yonder and worship. Now the rich man is in hell and he lifts up his eyes. He sees the place of worship, but he can't get there. No way in hell. I said, there's no way in hell. And so Abraham responds as they come this morning. Abraham, Lazarus didn't say a word. Abraham said, son, remember. See, even in hell, you're going to remember this sermon if you go. I'm sorry, I don't mean to upset you, but I promise you, in hell, you will remember this sermon. Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime, you had a whole lifetime to get right. And I'm telling you, you have your lifetime, ever how long that is, to get right. Receivest thou good things, likewise Lazarus evil or bad things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. It looks like everything was reversed. It's final. He said, there is a great gulf between us so that them that are here can't go there and them that are there can't go here. It's fixed, my brothers and sisters. The Bible says, as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. Then he said, I pray. Are you hearing all of this? I see, I feel, I hear, I cry, and now I pray. He doesn't pray, get me out. He knows better than that, and so do you. In hell, he got real soft. He got real compassionate. I pray. He said, Father, I pray that you go to my father's house. Abraham, you ought to know what it's like to have brothers and sisters and sons and daughters, and they're going to hell. You ought to know. Father, I pray that you go to my father's house. And I want you to go and have one testify. Testify. Not asking for much. Just testify. Just like Brother Baggett said, anybody got a testimony? Oh, I want to thank the Lord. Just let Sister Emma go testify. Let Sister Raynell go tell her testimony of how God brought. He said, they will repent. And Abraham answered them back and said, no, they wouldn't repent. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, if one went from the dead, then they would repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not, can I put this in here? The preachers. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded like that man was persuaded. The one you're asking, he was fully persuaded. that God was able to do what he said he would do. Neither will they be persuaded, though one would be raised from the dead. Let me tell you this morning, you will not be saved with a miracle. You're not going to be miraculously saved. A testimony is not going to save you. Being one raised from the dead, seeing healings won't save you. You are saved by the foolishness of what I'm doing today. You are saved by the foolishness of preaching. Listen to me, boys and girls, and young and old. This is foolish. What I'm doing here, begging y'all not to be lost, begging you, if you're any of these, this is foolish. I mean, that's like a guy drowning. If a guy is drowning, he's saying, throw me something. I'm drowning. Help me. It's not like this. It's not like a guy's drowning. I say, don't drown. Take the life preserver. Please take the life preserver. No, I'm going to drown. I'm going to drown. I've made my mind. I'm going to drown. That's not how it works. He's asking me for life preservers. Asking me for a lifeline. But foolishness of preaching is, I'm asking you. I'm asking you to get your life right. I'm asking you to quit being one of these things. But how can he preach unless he be sent? How can he preach unless God sends him? As you stand this morning, I read to you the bottom line. The end will come for everyone. This morning, you will not be able to say, I didn't know. You will not be able to say, I didn't understand. I didn't have time. But you just don't know what I was going through. The Bible says when one was found inside of the marriage ceremony who had not owned the wedding garments, he says, friend, how did you get in here seeing you have not owned the wedding garments? And the Bible says he was speechless. He said, bind him hand and foot, cast him into outer darkness, where there will be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. Revelations 20 and 12, I saw the dead. John is writing, he said, I saw the dead, small, great, standing before God. And the books were opened. Here they are. The one that says that if you do these things, you shall not. We can talk about the nine fruit of the Spirit, Brother Manuel, but if we don't continue to do the works of the flesh, I don't care if you got the nine fruit of the Spirit. If you have the works of the flesh, you won't make it. It didn't say, now, if you have these nine fruit of the Spirit, you make it. It says if you do have the works of the flesh, you don't make it. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before the Lord, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life, the one that he has. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. Were you any of those things I read? Or maybe you're such were some of you. Maybe you've been washed. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. The sea got choked with all the dead, began to cough, if you will. And the dead came up out of the sea. And the death and hell were delivered up from the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I preached a sermon to y'all a long time ago when I first came here called The Color of Hell. See, hell's got, you can see, but what you see is what's up there. Color of hell. It's dark. It's black. It's a bottomless. The Bible calls it a bottomless. You ever just woke up and felt like you was falling? How would you like to do that for eternity? There's no feeling. It'll pop your neck. There's no feeling like falling and burning and seeing and feeling and, oh God. I wish I could reach you. As they sang this morning, whether you think you need to pray or not, you do. For he that thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. I would ask for everyone to come, find you a place.
Don't blame anybody else. Say, oh, I hope so-and-so. No, you come. Find you a place to pray. You need God worse than you ever needed him.
I must be saved.